Hi, you guys. Jen Hatmaker here. I've got a bonus for you in the feed today to tell you about We Can Do Hard Things, a show I absolutely love, of course, with three women who are just amazing and my friends. First of all, just the concept of the show, you know, like we all do hard things every day. We love and lose stuff. We care for our children and parents. Friendships start, friendships end. Maybe we battle addiction or illness or loneliness. And so often we're doing it by ourselves. And that's where my friends, Glennon Doyle, her wife, Abby Wambach, and sister Amanda Doyle come in. Twice a week, the three, with help from guests like Jane Fonda and Oprah Winfrey and Billie Jean King. And of course, yours truly, Jen Hatmaker, strive to find light in the darkness. You guys, we all laugh and we all cry and we help each other carry the hard in hopes of living a little bit braver and less alone. So I'm excited to share an excerpt of an episode here as a special bonus with pastor, author, and speaker, and also my friend, Nadia Boltz-Weber. We love her. She's a favorite around here who's also been on the For the Love podcast. In this episode, Nadia shares that the secret to her healing has been, as she puts it, honestly, a lot of pain. I think you're going to love this one. Take it away, Glennon, Abby, and Amanda.
Okay, Pod Squad, get ready for today. I am so delighted, already full of energy and wondering what's going to happen in the next hour because we have one of my faves, Nadia Boltz-Weber, here today. Nadia is an ordained Lutheran pastor, founder of House for All Sinners and Saints in Denver, host of the Confessional Podcast, and author of three New York Times bestselling memoirs, Pastrix, Accidental Saints, and Shameless. All of her books are so flipping good. She always sits in the corner with the other weirdos, one of the many reasons we love her so much. And she can be found a couple days a week inside the Denver Women's Prison, where she is a volunteer chaplain. Nadia, welcome.
Hello.
And the corner Substack. Don't forget the corner Substack.
Oh, yes. Very, absolutely. Very cool. Yes. If you want to get her writing now, you have to subscribe to the corner Substack, which we're going to talk about in a minute because this is interesting what's going on with you right now, Nadia. First, I want to tell you a little story.
Okay.
The first time I met you in real life was at something called the Wild Goose Festival. So, Abby, I've explained this to you as kind of like a Jesus-y Woodstock. Yeah. Like a mini Jesus-y Woodstock. So, the first time I went to Wild Goose, I was referred to in the community as the one who wore heels. Okay? Because it was... It was in the mud, rain, like a festival type thing. And so people kept saying, oh, is she the one who wore heels to this? And that is true that I did.
Why?
I didn't understand. It was like camp. I didn't understand. I made my mom's friend lived in the town. So I would go all day and then pretend I was going to camp. And then I'd have my mom's friend pick me up in the secret in the back and take me to her house and put me in a room.
Wow.
I pretended that I camped.
I pretend I was going to camp.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody thought you were probably going to camp.
So not I was fooling no one? Okay. So Nadia, I brought my baby Chase. He was like 10 to Wild Goose. I was obsessed with you. You did a speaking event, like in a tent with Krista Tippett. You and she were recording an On Being. And the whole Wild Goose was all, it was like Nadia's doing On Being. So the whole Jesus-y camp, Woodstocky festival went to listen to you two. And you talked a lot in that about gendering God as just he and sort of the damage that that has done and continues to do.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
The next week, I'm minding my own business at home and I get a call.
Oh my God.
From my son's Christian school.
This is why that happened?
Yes. Okay.
I never knew this.
Yes. My son is in fourth grade at this time. He's in the principal's office. Okay. He's in the principal's office. I've been called a few times. Okay. Like they've said, my mom doesn't believe there's a hell.
principal's office. My mom has tattoos and does yoga, principal's office. Okay. Yeah. But this is the last straw. My son has stood up and said to his Christian teacher, I think we should be done with calling God he. Let's think about how this is making everyone feel. He quotes Nadia Boltz-Weber. That's it. So I go to the principal's office. I'm sitting there with the principal. And we just agree that we have to leave the school. That day, I take Chase out of the office. And I'm like, I guess we can't go here. I go.
All three of them. You had to pull all three of them.
I pulled all three of them. I went to Tisha's class. I went to Emma's class. Pulled them all out. We walked out. We started public school the next day because of you.
So you might want to be careful listening to this podcast because it might have large ramifications for your life.
Yes.
I don't know whether to feel more proud of that or how many middle-aged lesbians are in seminary now because of me.
How would you pick what to be proud of if you're Nadia Boltz-Weber?
Yeah, that's amazing. I never heard that story.
Me neither.
I knew
the kids left school.
That's so funny. I also remember in 2016, maybe it was like early 2017, you and I were texting about something and I was like, nobody knows I'm in the middle of a divorce. Mm-hmm. And you're like, nobody knows that I fell in love with a woman. Yeah. Abby Wambach. And I'm like, girl, you can't be blamed for that. That's
oh my God.
Nadia's like, phew, heat's off me.
I see your divorce and I raise you a lesbian.
Exactly.
Yes. We have been through some shit, haven't we, Nadia?
Yeah.
So I'm getting this sense. I could be making this up, but I feel like you seem to be carbonated. Like you seem very alive. We have spent decades in sort of this like trying to figure out how to do what we love and also be in the grind.
Yeah.
It feels to me lately like you are living a little bit like, you know how campy people live off the grid. Like you seem to be living off the grind.
I am living off the grind. You're totally right. The way I put it is, I think that all my ambition left with my estrogen.
Say more.
I was driven my whole life. I've been this like driven person and I'm entrepreneurial. So I create stuff. I make stuff. I have new projects. I get people excited. I've just done that for so long, and I don't care anymore. I don't want to create. I don't have it in me to like create anything else because I am very busy cooking and going for walks and doing what I'm really obsessed with, my new hobby, which is sacred harp singing. So every week I gather with this small group of people and we sing like colonial era music.
Oh my God, Abby, you would love that.
That's so fun sounding.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it and it brings me so much joy. And so my best friend in the world said the most grace-filled thing to me a few years ago when I was like, it's hard to get off the carnival ride of book publishing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I should figure out what my next book is. And she said, Nadia, if you never write another book and you never preach another sermon and you never publish another essay, you will have already like done enough, like more than enough. And I it made me teary because that's what I needed someone to say, you know? Mm-hmm. I think when you do work that has a positive impact on people, it creates a sort of weight around, I have to keep doing it. And we don't have a lot of words of grace. That's why I'm so obsessed with grace. It really cuts us free a lot of times. And anyway, so there have been moments in my life when somebody has said something so grace-filled that it really reoriented everything for me. And that's kind of what happened. So I don't know, maybe I'll write a book someday, but the drive to, I don't have anything else to prove, I think is what I feel like. I don't, what, oh no, I need to write a fourth New York Times bestseller.
That'll what, do it.
Who cares?
That'll
who cares?
Fill the God-sized hole in my soul.
Exactly, exactly. So part of it is I'm so extraordinarily well-loved for the first time in my life. I'm in a very deeply, I'm so in love with Eric, and it has softened everything about me. Mm. So I don't do CrossFit obsessively anymore. Mm. I mean, I weigh more than I've ever weighed. My hair is longer. I sort of spend my time more slowly, and I like it.
How is this relationship different than any other that you've had that is having this effect?
I think that Eric and I have this thing where we get that our relationship is like a huge treasure. Mm-hmm. And so we try to value it every day like that, you know, and not take it for granted. And so we've both been through a lot, and we were together in 93, 94, he was the boyfriend who like broke my heart, just like destroyed me. And it was a whole thing. It was like part of my story. Like if I had a new friend and I was telling them about who I am, I would tell them the story of having my heart broken.
Wow.
You know, decades later, I'll just tell you the story real quick,
please.
Which is this. We both got sober in 91. So in 93, we're very young. We're newly sober. And I was so in love with him. I remember loving how his hands looked, you know?
Like, oh, Lord.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You were gone.
So I had nothing going for me in my 20s. I had good abs, but really, that's it. That's all I had. So I thought, oh, this really handsome, sexy guy who's in this big alternative band, like wants to be with me, that must mean that I'm worthy of desire, that I'm worthy of love. It means I'll have a future. It means I'll have some kind of security. So I attached so many things to being with him. Mm-hmm. And so when he broke up with me, I was destroyed. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Fast forward to 2016, we've had various marriages and degrees and children and careers and whatnot. And I was in a coffee shop and I bumped into his roommate from back in the day. And he goes, hey, you and Eric are both divorced. You should have dinner. And I was like, yes, we should have dinner. And we've been together since then, August 2016. And he went with me on a gig like 3 weeks in or a month into our relationship. And we're on the airplane and he just looks at me and he goes, when did you forgive me?
Yeah.
And I said, when I realized how much of the suffering that I had experienced from our breakup was my fault, was about how much I had attached to the relationship. Mm-hmm. My suffering was from that so much more than from what you did. And that's when I forgave you because it was more mine than yours, you know? So anyway, yeah.
How many people think that their first breakup is still breaking their heart because of the other person when really it was because that first thing is when you decided you were worthy of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if they leave, you're unworthy of anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because he met somebody on the road that he fell in love with. And I was like, okay, now all those things are true about her and not me.
Yes.
Now she's the one who has security and who has value and who's worthy of desire and not me. It's been transferred. We're both 54. The great thing about being in a relationship now, I don't need anyone for me to have value and to know that I'm worthy and to have security and financial security. I don't need him for anything except that love connection, and that's it. And that makes it have a buoyancy. So
how did you get there? What do you most attribute being a becoming a human being who has all the worthiness, the security in herself, so that she can choose love instead of desperately need it.
Mm. Yeah. Just a lot of pain.
Yeah. That's why I love you. That's why I love you.
It's so hard. Yeah. Why is it gotta be so hard? That's it. That's the way.
Yeah.
If you want to hear more from Glenn and Abby and Amanda's conversation with Nadia Boltz-Weber, head over to We Can Do Hard Things, episode 257. And if you like what you hear, join them and guests like me, Jen Hatmaker, and Tracy Ellis Ross, Gloria Steinem, Elizabeth Gilbert, Brandi Carlile, Brené Brown, and more every Tuesday and Thursday on the free Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a production of Four Eyes Media.